Oh man, wonderful, wonderful hymn. Open your Bible now to John 14 as we continue our study on our Lord with his disciples in the upper room. John chapter 14. Tonight we're just going to address one verse. Often is pulled out of context and misunderstood when you don't put directly the theology of the New Testament into it to understand clearly what it said. Not only that, but within the context, our exposition tonight will simply be on those few words in verse 15. But I want to begin in verse 12 and read on to verse 18. Follow along as I read in John 14, verses 12 through 18. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the work that I do, he will do also, and greater work than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your goodness, your love, your word, certainly the hymns we sang tonight of your amazing victory and wonderful, marvelous, and infinite grace that saves sinners. Your work on Calvary was perfect, sufficient to cleanse us of all of our guilt, all of our sin, and all of the stain. But Lord, as we look at this passage, we're talking about an important topic, and that is loving you and how it's manifested, and how one can have lip service and not manifest it in reality. So Lord, let us hear your word, and may we heed what it's teaching and what it's saying, and then examine our own hearts. Because lip service without our lives manifesting it is pointless and meaningless. Lord, it's one thing to profess it, it's another thing to possess it and to display it. So Father, we pray that you would help us. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple verses that I wanted to share that I think is important that will set the undergirding stage of this verse that we're going into, and that is one we're familiar with that happened to be, I would think, the most popular, most quoted verse among the health and wealth gospel people. They take it grossly out of context. They take one part of the verse and not what the whole verse teaches. And that is found in Psalm 37, verse 4. You'll know what I mean when I get to the second half of the verse. But the first half said this: delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. They always love to say, man, you know, God will give you whatever your desires are. That's not what the text said. The text clearly said, when you delight in him, everything about him delights you. His will, his way, his word, his commandments. Everything about him, his kingdom, his cause, his purpose, his name, his glory. When you delight in him, by all means, whatever your wish is. Because you will want to be in accordance to that. You will be in accordance to that. Another way It's stated in Psalm 145, verse 19, and he will fulfill the desires of those who fear him. Not just because they willingly want it, this is what I want, give it to me, is he will fulfill their desires, those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. That has reference to those who fear him. First verse, to those who delight in him. In our passage here, in verse 15, I have simply wanted to zero in on verse 15 because I think it's misunderstood a lot of times because it assumes of something. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. What we have learned so far from chapter 13 and the first part of 14, that our Lord is comforting his disciples because he had told them he is leaving them. And so he is teaching and instructing and telling them how to be comforted in these things. He's responding to their concerns and their questions. We learn about the question that Thomas asked, that Peter asked, and that Nathaniel asked. And then he is now instructing them of the great truth of spiritual reality. Things that you can't see intuitively. It doesn't come up naturally from human reasoning. It must be revealed by divine revelation. Our Lord gives us some of the most profound teaching in all of Scripture in these chapters in the upper room. And he is ready to teach these things beginning right here. And so in the light of that, it is interesting what Matthew Henry said about this. He said this question, quote, "Now observe, when Christ is comforting them, he bids them to keep his commandments. For we must not expect comfort, but in the way of duty," end quote. I thought that was a good observation. You can't miss that. He is comforting them, and in the midst of comforting them, he is saying, you want comfort? Follow my will. Obey my commandments. Do your duty as a child of God, as a disciple and follower of Jesus Christ. All along they have learned that they were in his care. They were safe, and now their master was leaving them. What's going to become of them now? And yet, he tells them about comfort, he tells them about prayer, and now he's talking about their duty, their obedience. Live a life that is pleasing and honoring to him. And he simply says this. He tells them to love him and keep his commandments. Simple, straightforward, but let's dig down a little farther. Where does this love come from? Too often we have assumed it's innate and natural within the human heart. So I pose the question, is it innate, inborn, instinctive, intuitive within the human heart to love God and to submit one's life to the will and the commandment of God? The answer is no. Man in his natural state cannot and will not love and submit to God. Man in his natural state, left to themselves in their sin nature, bound and enslaved to their sin, cannot and will not. So this commandment is only for those who have the ability to love. To love. We know this from John chapter 3, clear back at the early part of this gospel. Chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. And this is the condemnation, that light had come into the world. And men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. What did that sound like? A natural, instinctive love and obedience to the Creator? Absolutely not. Every man, woman, and child has innate within them a repelling to righteousness and repelling to the holiness of God. Verse 20, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Does that sound like somebody who's going to love and obey God with their life? Of course not. Even when you go a little bit farther, right from the very first chapter of the Gospel of John, it said this in verse 9-11. That was the true light, would give light to every man coming into the world. That's Jesus Christ. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Meaning they did not comprehend him, they did not come to him, they didn't embrace him. How do I know that? Next verse. He came unto his own, and his own did not receive him. Romans 8 says it this way, verses 5 through 8. Those who live according to the flesh, meaning in their natural state, set their mind on the things of the flesh. Sin, passion, desires, lust. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death. To live in this continual state of mind in your natural state is spiritual death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because, now he explains why this is so. The carnal mind is an enmity against God. That is the word that, there is no stronger word that speaks to the hostility that in the innate in the human heart toward God. Even little babies, even children, everybody had this natural thing for self, not God. Selfishness, not him. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be done. Does that sound like somebody who has the natural innate ability to want to submit their life to the commandment of God that we have in verse 15 here? The answer is no. And explain, verse 8. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God, period. Can't do it. They don't have the ability, nor the desire. They don't care. They love their sin. They love their autonomy. They love their independence. They want to do their thing. That's why you don't find people loving the Bible, loving righteousness, loving church, loving the people of God, loving the singing and the hymn of the praises of his glorious name. They love their own stuff. So something had to happen. Paul explained that in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And you he made alive who are dead and trespasses in sin. Now notice, does this sound like somebody who had the ability and had the desire to want to love God and obey his commandments? Because man left to himself before God quickened him and regenerated him and made him alive spiritually, it said this. And you he made alive, you are dead and trespassed in sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, Satan. The spirit who now worked in the sons of disobedience, not obedience. Among whom also we also once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. He is talking about true believers. He quickened us. We were once this way. This is where we were until he, in his grace, brought us to himself. Quickened us, made it alive spiritually. And the theological term is regeneration, or simple textual name would be in chapter 3 of John, born again, born from above. Because that happened, he says in Romans 5, verses 1 through 5, and you want to listen carefully to this. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. All of a sudden, something happened here. That enmity, that hostility, that wanting to turn away from light, now want the faith light because peace with God is there. Because we know from Ephesians 2, he quickened it and made it alive. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into his grace, in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Where else are we going to stand but in his grace? Amen? Then he says this. And not only that, that we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope, and now hope does not disappoint. What is he saying? He's talking about the struggle of living a Christian life and standing for righteousness and for the gospel and the glory of God in this life. And he makes this statement at the end, and this hope doesn't disappoint. I didn't read the rest of the verse. The rest of the verse says this, and it changes everything. Because the love of God had been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So I answer the question, where does this love come from? It comes from God, the Holy Spirit, living within us and pouring out that love into our soul so we would in turn love him. We don't have it in us. Left to ourselves is hostility and walking away and I want to do my thing. So the love of God had been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who had given to us. That's why Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Not love for self. That has never been a problem. We always have loved ourselves. It is to deny self, pick up the cross and follow him, love him. So in this love business, this obedience business, later on in chapter 15, verse 5, he's going to say this, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, I in him, bears much fruit. Why? For without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. So those who have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit have love for Christ and the power to obey his commandment because of his enablement, his presence. How do I know that? Look at the verse again with me. Verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. What is the very next thing he says? He introduces the third member of the Godhead basically for the first time. And I will pray the Father and he'll give you another helper and he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him for he dwelled with you and will be in you. When a person is drawn to Christ, salvation takes place. You know, repentance and faith, justification, forgiveness, reconciliation, all those great themes of the gospel. One of the elements is the permanent dwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit begin. Fills that heart with love. How do you explain Paul, who hated Christians on the road to Damascus, by the time he got there, he loved them? Change of mind? No. Change of heart. Change of heart. So, beloved, it starts with, do you know Christ in the gospel? Do you know Christ as your Lord and Savior? It starts there. Do you have the indwelling work and ministry of the Holy Spirit beginning. It's not something for you to go sit in the corner and try to find the word that love to bring up and love him and obey him. You don't do it in a robotic sense. You do it from a natural sense and from the aspect of fruit of the Spirit, not from a legalistic, let's do the steps. That's why one of the most damaging things to the sanctification of any Christian is the unbelievable destruction of legalism. That's why he wrote a whole book called Galatians to attack legalism. Instead of looking at rules, you look to Christ and the Holy Spirit to transform you and renew you. That's why later on in our very chapter here, verse 21, he who has my commandments and keep them, it is he who loves me. So one of the marks of having a work of the Holy Spirit going on in there is you will obey. And you'll obey because you want to. And he has enabled you to do it. And he goes on, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Verse 23 and 4, and Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Don't tell me you love him. Let's see if you love him. Talk it cheap. Don't talk the walk. Walk the walk. And we're not talking about walking in a way of legalism. We're talking to walk in the fruit of the Spirit and in the way that God had commanded us to live. Reading that again, Jesus answered and said to them, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. Notice this, very next verse. He who does not love me does not keep my word. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. That's why in chapter 15, he continued on this theme. If you keep my commandment, you will abide in my love. Not only do you display that you love me, you'll be abiding with me in my love. I love you. You love me. The Father loved you. You'll love the Father. We got the Trinitarian element here. Then, if you love me, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. See, these are the themes throughout the Gospel of John. John continues this thought and line of reasoning all the way to his epistle. For John, chapter 2, verse 3 through 5. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. And this we know, that we are in him. Same epistle, 1 John 5. Verse 2 and 3. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. So not only do you keep his commandments, you love him, you love his people that he saved. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Obeying him is a great source of joy. I didn't say they're not easy, that they're easy. I'm not saying they may not be difficult. We know there's a lot of time when God has to do something that is not certainly easy for us to do at times. But they are not burdensome when we do it with the right motive and in the power of the Spirit. So in encapsulating all that we have here, if you love me, keep my commandments. Our Lord made a statement in the middle of his ministry that should always be used as a touchstone for us to examine our own heart. Luke 6:46. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? So one of the most difficult questions to answer is, why is a professing person living like a lost person? Does that not question the profession? Of course. Our Lord already addressed it in all the verses I shared with you. He said, if you don't obey him, you're a liar, though you say you love me. Just not the fact. You profess it, but don't possess it. You talk about it, but you don't live it. Why? Because maybe you're not born again, or maybe you're being a rebel as a child of God. But there always will be that you're not doing it because the Spirit is not there. Oh yeah, you said a prayer, but is he here? Because true salvation, true born from above, happens. When that happens, these things fall into place. So, beloved, when we look at this, we have to ask ourselves, do I love him, and does that love come from it being poured into our hearts and our soul by the Holy Spirit? Had he continued to permanently indwell within us, transforming us, renewing us, convicting us of sin, enabling us to live in a way we should live, and bringing about desires that we should have, holy desires, righteous desires, desires that are pleasing to him, that delight in him and glory in him. So, above all, let's not forget what our Lord said here. If you love me, keep my commandments. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word tonight. Love did not come, the love for you, to where we're willing to regulate and govern and guide our entire life under the authority of your commandment, don't happen unless the Spirit of God is within. That's why we see it being introduced in the very next verses. Father, help us to always realize that if we're going to live a life that is pleasing to you, it cannot be in the power of the flesh. It must be in the fruit and ongoing work of the Spirit within, to work both in and through us for your honor and your glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.